Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of John, chapter number 4. Amen. While you turn there, we get Brother Asa stand up and testify for us, son. All right. Hallelujah. The book of John, chapter number 4 tonight. Amen. We'll go in verse number 23. Very familiar scripture reading here tonight. We appreciate, amen, all of the home folks being here and all of the visitors. Amen. We appreciate you coming and being in the house of the Lord with us tonight. The book of John, chapter number 4. Amen. Down in verse number 23. Pray for this voice of mine when you pray. And the Bible says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." When he told us there in verse number 23, he says, "The hour cometh and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." That means the Lord's looking for somebody tonight, amen, that will shake off everything that they've been through today, amen, and worship him here tonight. Lord, be my help. I'll try to preach to us just a little bit, but Lord, help me, amen, on compromised worship, amen. Compromised worship. Stretch your hands this way, if you would, one more time. Ask the Lord, would he anoint us and help us here tonight? Brother Jim, if you would, lead us to the Lord in prayer, brother. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God, help us tonight, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Church said amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I got to reading a while back. Amen. I believe it was A.W. Tozer who wrote one time before. He said, "Worship is the missing jewel in the modern church today." Amen. I tell you, I know a lot of times we're glad we're holiness people, and we're glad, amen, that we're set apart from this world. And there's some little bit of pride, amen, I guess you can say, amen, that comes with that. Amen, that tells us we know that we're not, amen, like the decaying church world that is around us, amen, in America. Amen, but we pride ourselves in being those, amen, that are set apart and dedicated and separated and sanctified unto the Lord. Can you say amen? But can I tell us, we know that that makes us, amen, they're part of that holiness crowd, amen, that has a stigma that goes with it, amen, in this world that we live in nowadays. Amen, but can I tell us something, friend, here tonight? Amen, there is something more than a dress. There is something more than hair. There's something more, amen, than a sleeve length, amen, that identifies us as holiness people. Amen, it is more than an outside standard, amen, that identifies us as holy people of God. Amen, it is our worship. Can you say amen, somebody? Amen, can I tell us, amen, when the world looks at us, amen, and we're there, amen, out at the dollar store or at Walmart, and they see us the way we look and the way we carry ourselves and our standard, amen, they might not understand everything about why we live the way that we do. Come on here. But there's something in the back of their mind that lets them know, when they go down to one of those kind of churches, those kind of people, amen, there's no telling what's going to happen, amen, in one of their services. Come on here now. There's one of those, ain't no telling what's going to happen, amen, in their kind of service. Now, come on here. I've preached in Baptist churches before. I have. Amen, nothing wrong. Amen, not knocking Baptists or nothing like that. Amen, but I cannot get mad when I go inside of a Baptist church and I preach like I'm preaching right now. Amen. And I say, can I get an amen? I don't hear nothing. Come on now. Amen. Why? Amen. Because I'm in a Baptist church. Amen. And that's really what I expect. Amen. There. Amen. But can I tell us something? Amen. Those Baptist people, if they decide to come and visit us, amen, inside of the Holiness Church, amen. Come on here now. Amen. We got to get to that place that we realize, amen, when they come here, they expect something out of our worship, just the way we expect them to be. They expect us to be a certain way. Amen. I heard one old man say years ago, said back before everybody had to worry about, amen, all the worldly things and entanglements there of the world like we have nowadays. He said before people ever went out to the movies or brought or had a television in the house, amen, some of those old moonshiners way back in the day said they didn't have a television in the house and they couldn't afford one. Amen. Said they used to go down to the Holiness Church for their entertainment. Come on here now. Heard a story one time before. Said there was two drunk men that came. Amen. Said they didn't have nothing left to do. Didn't have no money to go nowhere. Couldn't go to the picture show at the time. Amen. So one of them decided, let's go down there to the Holiness Church and see what they're doing down there. They never walked in the door. Amen. But it was those old timey churches built up real high. Amen. And the windows didn't have air conditioning. Amen. Padded pews like we got now. Amen. They'd raise those windows up. Amen. And there said those men were outside and those windows way up, that church built up high. Amen. Said they were trying to peek in the edge of that window. Amen. See what they're doing in there inside that church house. Amen. Said they got to looking in there. Amen. Couldn't see. Amen. Because the windows were so high. One of them decided, the other one said, let me stand on your shoulders. Amen. And see what they're doing there inside of that church. Come on here now. Amen. Said they got up there on the shoulders, got to peeking inside of those in there inside that Pentecostal Holiness Church. Amen. And out of curiosity got a hold of that man who was on the bottom and that one who got to see through the crack. And he said, what is it? What are they doing? Amen. What's going on in there inside of that church? Amen. What's going on among them holiness people? Amen. Said that man on top of his shoulders looked down at the one below him and said, I don't know, but it sure looks like they're treading it. Come on here now. Amen. I ask us here tonight, and then if somebody would have came and peeked me in our service here tonight, y'all going to help me right here. Amen. Come on here now. Amen. But they look in. Amen. And see us like we're dreading to be. Amen. In the house of the Lord. I want to preach to us here tonight. There's a lot of us. Amen. We've been this way for a while. And I believe there are some of us. We have not compromised on our outside standard. But we have compromised on our worship in the house of God. Some feel as if they live a standard that is good enough. Amen. They've got a list long, mile long of what they do and don't do and feel their standard is good enough and that they don't have to worship when they come inside the house of the Lord. Can I tell you, friend, tonight, if all we've got is a standard, we're nothing more than an Amish in a buggy. We're nothing more than a Quaker twiddling our thumbs. If all we've got is a standard in the house of God, and we don't have the bread of life that breathes inside of us and makes us move when the Spirit of the Lord comes by. You want to talk about a standard? The Muslims have a standard. They're in Rocky Mountain, North Carolina. Me and my wife, amen, we got to walking around there in the mall one day and saw a lady there, a Muslim. And then she had a long gown on down to, amen, to her wrist, covered up, couldn't see her feet. Amen, a veil over her head. Amen, all we could see was just there through the where her eyes was, that little slit where she could see while she was walking around. You want to talk about modest? That's modest. Come on here now. Amen. But what good is it, amen, as a standard, if she does not have Christ living on the inside? And what good is us as holiness people, amen, outwardly, if we ain't got that Holy One living on the inside? Can you say amen? The Lord dealt with me. I read this today inside of that room over there, brother. Amen. God began to smoke my heart about this. And he said, the hour cometh, and the hour now is. Amen. Amen. That that the Father is seeking somebody, amen, to worship Him. And then can I tell you something? If the Lord looks down, amen, on Union Grove Church here tonight, I don't want the Master to have to look too far to see Brian Jenkins with his hands raised up and a praise on his lips and a worship that goes toward the Father. We've got to have more than just that that's on the outside. We've got to have that stand. Come on here now. Amen. That standard on the outside. But we don't need to compromise on our worship on the inside. I got to talking there to a preacher brother one time before. It was that same, amen, Assemblies of God preacher, Brother Talmadge McGuire. I talked to him years ago. I told you that older man I liked so much. Amen. He said, you know what, Brother Brian? He said, worship at the Holiness Church. It's kind of like going down to the swimming hole. You're looking at me funny tonight. Amen. He said, yeah. He said, worship down there at the Holiness Church, boy. He says, it's kind of like going down to the swimming hole. He said, some get in and some don't. He said, but the ones that get in are the ones that enjoy it the most. Come on here now. And can I tell us something here tonight? You won't have nothing bad to say about this service when you leave the house of God tonight. If you can just shuck off everything around you and begin to worship Him tonight, I guarantee you, if you jump in wide open and begin to worship the Lord, come on here, you'll enjoy this service the most. There are some that are satisfied in wading in the shallow waters of worship. I'll testify if the preacher asks me to. I'll raise my hands if he asks me to. I'll come down to the altar if it gets just good and high enough. Amen. But what did our pastor tell us? Amen. At the very first part of the week, he said, when we come to the house of the Lord, amen, he's heard folks say, amen, that I didn't get anything out of that service. And that's a misconception to begin with. When you came in this house tonight, our purpose shouldn't be, what can I get tonight? But what can I give tonight? I want to give a praise. I want to lift up worship tonight. I'm on here now. It identifies us as the people of God when we lift up holy hands and worship the Master. Hallelujah. Has the Lord ever done anything for you? Has God ever came by and moved in your behalf? Come on here now. When it seemed like the situation grew dim, has He saved you? Has anybody in here, the Lord ever healed you? I'm asking you. Is anybody here tonight? Amen. You've been going through some things. Amen. And God came by and delivered you from some things. Amen. After you got saved. Amen. You still struggled and struggled and struggled there with it. But His power came by and delivered you. I tell you, we've got something. Amen. To worship the Lord. Amen. About here tonight. I remember a while back, me and my wife were there at the house, and she got kind of bad off sick there. I mean, the temperature got to rising up real high. I mean, we had already started evangelizing. When we quit the job, you know, we ain't got no insurance. We get sick, we ain't got no insurance. Amen. I heard one old preacher say before, he said, no, we ain't got insurance, but we got assurance. And the Lord's going to see us through and help us. I remember we came home there one time, and my wife got sick. And then she was laying there on the couch, temperature run up so high. And I was trying to be a good husband. Smile at me, somebody. I was trying to clean up the house, and I was trying to change diapers. And I don't like it, but I was trying to get some clothes washed up, stuff like that. Amen. Just try to be good. Amen. I got to that place. Amen. My wife was there. Her temperature was run up. And let me tell you something. She ain't a baby. She ain't a baby. When she gets sick, come on here. She's bad off sick. She's a trooper. Come on here. She's the last one. We can all be sick. Amen. She's the last one to get sick. If anybody's the baby in the Jenkins family, you're looking at him. And then I'm the baby in the Jenkins family. And then, but she got bad off sick there. And then I'm running around the house, and I saw her laying down there. Amen. I knew she was in pain. And I came by her there on that couch in that double wide trailer. And I said, Becca, I said, do you believe that the Lord can heal you? She said, yeah, I do. I said, no. I said, I'm serious. I said, do you believe that God can heal you right now, and it'll be over with. Come on here now. And she said, she knew I was serious. She said, well, yeah, baby, I do believe that. I believe it could. I said, well, I want you best you can. I want you to try to sit up on that couch and get yourself together. I said, we're going to be fixing to pray. We're going to look for the Lord to help us. I'm not one of them preachers. Ain't nothing wrong with it now. Amen. But I ain't one of those preachers that walk around with a little bottle of oil in my pocket ready to pray all the time. And I ain't got there. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Don't fall out with me. Amen. But I got to walk in there through the house, try to find some oil. Amen. There was some vegetable oil there we cooked with. I opened up the top of that, ran my hand around the top, amen, the lid of that thing, amen, got some on two of my fingers there, and I came back in there, and I smeared it across Becca's forehead, and we began to pray that God would come by and heal and touch her. We knew we ain't had no money to take her to the doctor and things like that, and I laid hands on her. She lifted up her hands and began to pray, and we began to say, God, I know you can heal. We began to plead the blood of Jesus Christ. We began to claim the stripes, amen, that were placed on his back, amen, that she could be healed. And listen to me right here. We prayed for 15, 20 minutes, as hard as we do when we're in the house of God. And guess what? Nothing happened. Nothing happened. We got to that place. It just kind of died down and we quit praying. And I sat there and then I felt defeated. Amen. Sister Beck still had her hand lifted up. And she started saying, I love you, Lord. I worship you, God. We lift you up, Jesus. We magnify you, God. She quit asking him for things. Amen. All of a sudden, come on here, it got contagious. Can I tell you, you're contagious in the house of the Lord. And you get in, it won't be that much harder for the person beside you to start getting in too. And then my wife got there, and then sitting there on that couch, got to worshiping the Lord, and it got contagious, and I caught it. Amen. I started lifting up my hands and I started saying, God, we love you. Lord, we praise you. And we sat there and just worshiped the Lord. Amen. Until all of a sudden, the atmosphere started to change. Amen. Inside of that living room. Amen. All of a sudden, amen, the Holy Ghost descended down. Amen. Inside, amen, of that double wide trailer. I saw my wife. She had both hands lifted up and I heard her as she began to speak. Amen. In a heavenly language. Language. My hand was still on her forehead. One hand up worshiping God. Amen. The Holy Ghost, as he began to move on her, amen, began to speak through me. Come on here now. I was there when it happened. I guess I ought to know. Amen. And immediately there in that worship, amen, my wife broke a sweat. Amen. Her temperature dropped. I felt it right underneath the palm of my hand as it dropped instantly, just like that. Amen. And she got up, amen, and things were fine, like she'd never been sick at all. Can I tell you something? The Lord decided to come by and heal her when we decided, God, even if you don't heal her, we're going to worship you anyway. Come on here. When we decided that if the circumstance doesn't change, you're still the master. You're still on the throne. And can I tell you here tonight, if you're asking God and you're praying about something in your life needing a touch from the Lord, amen, why don't you worship him? Amen. Before, amen, the answer ever comes, why don't you worship him before the healing ever comes? Amen. What did the pastor tell us tonight? Oh, come on here now. He got to talking there, amen, about Abraham and Sarah. We get to reading there about his son Isaac, amen, and he was going to offer him up as a sacrifice. They ask him, what you doing, man? He said, me and the lad, we're going up yonder to make a sacrifice. Ain't what he said. We're going up there. We give him a boy to the Lord. No. He said, me and the lad, we're going up yonder. We're going to worship. Come on here now. And he made up in his mind, amen, that I'm going to worship. Come on here. Amen. If the situation changes or not, could it be, amen, that the reason that some of us, amen, hadn't got that breakthrough that we need is because we have decided in our heart that we ain't going to have, come on here now, this is all right. Oh, black churches, just call it praise break. Come on here. Amen. We ain't going to have a praise break until the Lord comes by and moves. But can I tell you, amen, why do we gotta wait till the battle's over? Why can't we shout right now? Why can't we just give him the praise and give him the glory and give him the honor that he deserves before he moves in our behalf? Hallelujah. Well, I believe this outside standard's right. But I'm telling you, I'm preaching to us here tonight. We can't compromise on our worship either. So a lot of times, a lot of things can distract people from getting in and worshiping the Lord in the house of God. Come on here now. Amen. It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too loud. It's not loud enough. Not in my right key. Baby's crying. Amen. Somebody beside me messing with a peppermint candy. I can't hear. Come on here now. What's going on? Amen. So many small little minute things. Amen. That the enemy will try just to get your mind. Amen. On things around us other. Amen. Than just worshiping him while we are here. Come on here. I'm only 31 years old now. And I'm going to tell you something real profound. I want you to tell everybody, amen, when you hear this, amen. You'll tell you sometimes when we come to the house of the Lord, Asa, I mean, we believe this. We believe this. Amen. Everything got to fall apart right before, amen, we came to church tonight. Amen. Asa spoke up. He knew what it was. Amen. The devil will fight you the hardest 1 hour before church service starts. Amen. You'll get phone calls you ain't got in a long time. You're hearing news. Come on here. Why do they wait to call me 1 hour before church starts? Amen. All this had happened. Amen. I'm trying to keep my mind on the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you. Amen. Everything falling apart. Everything going bad. Amen. I'm telling you. We got to change in Abigail. I don't know how many times before we came. Amen. Finally got to get in the van. Amen. Here tonight. Amen. Everything falling apart. Asa was sitting there. Amen. We're about to walk out the door. He said, it's an hour before church, ain't it? I said, yeah. I said, actually it is. Amen. But can I tell us, we got to make sure in our mind that we don't let small things that happen before we walk in those doors hinder our worship when we get inside the house of God. Come on here now. Hallelujah. We got to make sure that we can't let circumstances steal our worship. You got to make up in your mind, as a born-again child of God, come on here, that you can't make me mad enough that I ain't going to worship him when I get here. I got to make up in my mind, come on here, that you can't hurt my feelings bad enough. You can't disappoint me bad enough that when I come in the house of God, it's going to hinder my praise towards him. And then you got to make up in your mind, you can't make me mad enough. You can't make me sad enough. And then you can't hinder me bad enough that when I come in the house of the Lord, I'm going to compromise in my worship because of a circumstance in my life. Come on. Hallelujah. Got to read in there today. And Mark chapter number 9, the Bible tells us that the disciples came to where Jesus was. I'm fixing to close just a little bit. Disciples came to where Jesus was and said, Master, there are some that is casting out devils in your name, and they're not part of us. They're not part of this 12. Come on here now. And they began to plead with the master, what should we do? How should we handle this? Amen. The Lord said, forbid them not. Come on here now. But can I tell you, you know what they were getting upset about? Amen. The Lord was moving on somebody. God was helping them. Amen. There, somebody casting out devils. It was not part of that 12. You know what they're saying? Amen. They ain't a part of our church. Amen. They ain't a part of our fellowship. Amen. They ain't. Come on, y'all going to help me right here. Amen. So obviously, it must not be the real Holy Ghost if it's not a part of us. Amen. Right here in the house of God. But could I tell us here tonight? tonight. Amen. We can't get to that place. It feels like if it's not our way, amen, and if it's not just the way we think, amen, then God can move in somebody else's life. Oh, help me while I preach just a little bit tonight. Amen. Why is it that churches are falling out with one another, disfellowshipping each other over small, little, insignificant, minute things? Come on here. That can't be the will of God. They believe it this way. Oh, that can't be the will of God. They allowed this in the house. Come on here now. Amen. But God of heaven, help us right here. Amen. That we can push some things aside. I'm not talking about, amen, basic Bible doctrine tonight. Amen. But I'm talking about some people fall out with one another, disfellowship each other, all because of personal convictions. I've got personal convictions in my life. I've got to tell you something. The Lord won't allow me to preach a personal conviction from a pulpit. Why? That's why we call it a personal conviction. Can you shout amen, somebody? Amen. But could I tell us here tonight, we've been preaching before. Amen. And I told you, we've preached in a lot of different churches. And just about a year and a half, we've been out now. And we preach some on the far end liberal end of holiness. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And we preach for some on the far end super, come on here now, amen, end of tight street holiness. Shout amen to me right here. I don't know what y'all call them around. Amen. I don't know. Amen. But our way, amen, some of them call them super holiness. Some of them call them ultra holiness. Come on here now. Hallelujah. And they'll stand up and they'll preach against belt buckles and cowboy boots and open-toed shoes. And you got to wear your hair up. You got to wear your hair down. Amen. You can drink a Pepsi-Cola. You can't drink a Pepsi-Cola. Amen. You can't have rims on a car. You can't. Come on here. Y'all going to help me right here. Y'all act like y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. But yet the whole time, there are churches that are falling out with one another over small little insignificant stuff like that. And out the double doors of the church, there's a world that is lost and is going to hell because the church can't bind together in fellowship, amen, and agree, amen, that there is only one way to get through the gate. Come on here now. Come on here now. Is if we accept Him as our Savior. Come on here now. Got to be our way or it ain't real. Come on here now. Amen. I've seen folks before, amen, that ultra, amen, you can't put a finger on no way that they live. Can't say nothing about it. Everything looks just right on the outside. I'm going to tell you how you spot them in a camp meeting. Is this all right? You go to a camp meeting. They're sitting there, prim and proper. And the youngest out inside them, everything's fine. Everything, come on here. And they can't put a finger on anything. Amen. But the Holy Ghost get to moving. Amen. Folks get to running. Folks get to shouting. A message given out in tongues. Somebody on the other side of the church. Amen. Interpreted. Folks getting saved. Holy Ghost moving. Amen. Come on here now. Amen. And they sat right there on that pew. Amen. And they never move. Why? Because they feel like if I get in and I worship God. Amen. While that person's singing. Or while that person's testifying. They're going to think that I'm condoning what they're doing. Amen. But can I tell us something? They may not have compromised on their outward standard, but they have a compromised spirit of their worship towards Almighty God. There's more to being holiness, amen, than my sleeve length. I've got to have something down inside of me that drives me to worship Him. To worship Him. People feel if it ain't just the right person singing, just the right person preaching, then I can't get in. But you got to ask yourself, who you worshiping? Come on here now. Hallelujah. I know it's a little different here tonight. I've preached times before. I've gotten the house of God and I've had folks sit on me. And I'm preaching. I'm preaching now. Try to encourage the church. Nobody getting in, nobody worshiping. Amen. Never get an amen out of some folks. Come on here now. But I can get behind that pulpit and I can preach on pants and makeup and hair and jewelry And I begin to name those things, brother. Amen. And those same people that never said anything, the whole revival, I get to naming those things. And they're up on their feet and they're shouting and saying, come on, Brother Brian, preach it. That's right. Why do they do that? Because it exalts that standard that they live. Amen. And come on here now. Amen. It lifts them up on a pedestal. Amen. Because they're not living that life for the right reason. God of heaven, help us. I want the outside to be right. But Lord knows we can't compromise in our worship either. Was it not in the Word of God that tells us? He said that we must have clean hands and a pure heart. Why did he say that? He's saying the outside's got to be right. Clean hands and a pure heart. We got to have the inside right. My grandma, amen, she goes, amen, she thinks she's saved. Amen, she does things she knows is wrong. She got me one day. She said, Brian, what kind of church would you rather go to? Would you rather go to a church that lives a standard like y'all do and has no love? Or would you rather go to a church that has no standard and has love? My grandma asked me that. She thought she had me. Amen. I thought she had me. But the Holy Ghost rose up. Amen. And gave me an answer there at that moment. I said, Grandma, I said, I wouldn't want to go to neither one. She said, why is that, baby? I said, because they're going to both wind up in the same place. Amen. Can I tell you, it's going to take more than our outward. It's going to take something of work that's been done on the inside. And it's going to take more than just that on the end. Amen. It's all on here now. This standard that we live. Amen. Help me, somebody. Amen. It's not to boast of ourselves, but it is nothing more than an outward manifestation of a greater work that has been done on the inside. I done told you here this week, y'all know I ain't got nothing to hide. I done told everybody here that they that I got saved. Amen. Tattoos, body piercings, blue hair. Amen. Dog chain around my neck. Amen. The night that I got saved. Can I tell you? Amen. But God wasn't interested in the way I looked that night more than what he was interested in a work he wanted to do in my soul. But let me understand something here tonight. When he did get in, it didn't take long for things to start changing on the outside. Come on here now. Hallelujah. What old man said before, you set a barn on fire on the inside, it won't take long before the paint starts popping off. And then on the outside. And then if the Holy Ghost begins to burn a fire inside of you, it won't be long. Those worldly attachments and those worldly things that we hold on to, amen, to begin to pop off in our lives. Come on here now. It takes more. It's got to be inside and out. I'm closing right here. Give me 5 more minutes tonight. Got to read in the Word of the Lord. Every other, all of us know Moses was there and he went up on the mountain. He began to speak to the Lord. God, amen, began to talk to Moses, amen, and tell him the way the people should live. The Bible says when Moses came back down off of that mountain, come on here now. The Bible says that the glory of the Lord was all over Moses because he came in contact with God. Come on here now. Hallelujah. And when he got to that place, what happened? Amen. All the people there in that congregation said, Moses, put a veil on it. Cover it up. I don't want to see the glory, Moses. You're convicting me. Don't be like that. Cover it up, Moses. I don't want to see it. So what did Moses do? He put a veil, amen, there over it. And he hid the glory of God from the people in that congregation. Listen to me right here. This is where it happens. Listen. We never read in the Word of God that when Moses died, he died with that veil on his face. There came a time in Moses' life that the glory of the Lord faded from off of Moses. He was able to take that veil off. People were able to look at him the way they've always looked at him. Come on here now. Bible doesn't tell us when that happened. Amen. But eventually he took that veil off so that glory was gone. The people could see him. Amen. But could I tell us something? I began to think in my mind. I wonder, amen, how long was it before the glory faded, amen, in Moses' life. But he kept that veil up there. And the glory was gone. But he kept that veil up there so everybody else in the congregation would think, I still have the glory of God. That veil was still there, all they could see. That veil not only hid the glory of God, but that veil also hid when the glory of God faded off of Moses' face. Come on here now. Can I tell us here tonight? I'm closing right here. Amen. I wonder how many, when you look at Brother Brian, I'll use myself as an example. But could it be that you're looking at me tonight and you say, well, Brother Brian, he quit his job and he's running up and down the road and they're preaching and he's got him a good haircut. He looks like he's living clean. Look at his wife. They're living that holiness standard. Amen. They got the glory of God on them. But could this be a veil? Could my standard and my haircut and my wife, the way she dresses and looks, could that be nothing more than a veil that is hiding that the glory of God has faded on the inside? And nobody in the house of God even knows it, because that veil not only hides the glory from the people, but that veil also hides when the glory fades from the people. Oh, bow your heads with me right now. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I wonder if there'd be one inside this house tonight. Amen. Could it be that joy, that excitement, that zeal, that worship that you one time used to have in the house of the Lord has faded from your life? And nobody in this house knows it tonight because we still have the same outward standard. We still look the same on the outside. We're still here three times a week, but it's nothing more than a veil that is hiding that the glory of God has faded from our life. Could you stand with me all over this house tonight with your heads bowed and your eyes closed and no one looking around? And I wonder if there'll be one in the house here tonight. You say, Brother Brian, I'm so thankful that I haven't compromised in my outward standard to the Lord. But here tonight, the Lord is reminding me that I don't get in as much as I used to. I don't come to church with a burning testimony the way I used to. And I feel that my veil is hiding, that the glory is not as strong as what it used to be in my life. I wonder if there's one in the house here tonight. Maybe there used to be a time that you were closer to God than what you are tonight. Maybe there's some things that I just wonder that you might be doing that the Lord's already dealt with you about. God already told you. Here tonight, you say, God, I want to get down at an altar. God, and I want you to search me, Lord, because I don't want my glory to fade. I don't want the glory to fade. Is there one in the house here tonight that maybe you used to be closer to God years ago than what you are tonight? You say, you know what, Brother Brian? I feel like I just need to pray. And if that's you in this house here tonight, I ask you if you would just slip your hand up and put it right back down. I ain't going to call you out. I ain't going to come to you and make you come up to the altar. But you say, you know what, Brother Brian? I don't feel as close as what I used to be. And I need God to refresh me tonight. That's you, could just slip your hand up. Oh, hallelujah. How about it? I wonder if here tonight I would. You feel like you need to pray? Say, God, I need some help. All that would you come?